Well, happy Father's Day to everybody, or to the fathers, I should say. Yeah, happy Father's Day. We did it. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever." One of the most valuable things that we can do as fathers is simply be present and available for our families. Now, that's an important aspect for mom's life as well. But in our culture, generally speaking, guys, husbands, fathers get busy and preoccupied, and we equate with making a living to loving our family when sometimes we need to love our family and then go make a living, right? One of the most valuable things that we can do is simply be present. We become so busy and preoccupied that we forget how valuable that is as parents. Not only physically, but emotionally, spiritually, mentally, be present. I was at a funeral this week. A dear friend of mine, his mother passed away, and one of the things he said was, he said, "I didn't realize it till just recently, but one of the most valuable characteristics of mom was that she was simply always there with an open heart, open mind, and open ears, and open arms." It's Christ-like, really. John 15:4, Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine." Listen, a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Try as you may, try as you might, you're going to have to be plugged in to the vine, to the true vine. Amen? I was inspired by this and knew that sometimes I need to be reminded to stop, slow down, spend time with God. It's the most valuable, most powerful thing that I can do is spend time with God. And that's easy to forget because we get busy. I've faced lately with some uncomfortable decisions and things that I needed to decide on in life. And so this came to be very valuable to me. Stop, take time. Sometimes I can get so busy working for God that I stop going to God for the instructions for the work that I'm supposed to do, right? So I go to God and I say, "Okay, yeah, I do. I need to stop and I need to seek you for the answer." And I said, "God, here's what I'm going to do. I need you so much in the decision-making part of my life right now. I need you so much. God, I've said this before, but maybe more now than ever. I need your guidance." I said, "Here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to eat until I get an answer. That's it. I'll fast." And God says, "Son, that sounds more like a hunger strike." And I giggled and I said, "Well, call it whatever you want. I won't eat until I get an answer." But the beauty of it is when we stop our lives and seek to spend quality time with God, He will arrive because He is there. He is present. I just needed to make myself available to Him. Be present. And this is a practice that is often, too often, overlooked and undervalued as parents. And not only that, but for us younger ones, the tie-dye shirt didn't make me younger, did it? But for you younger ones, it's also so easy to become so distracted with girlfriends or boyfriends or a new career or going into college and things like this that we miss what is so valuable in our lives, and that's make yourself available to be present with your parents. Amen, parents? It's funny because when the kids are younger and want to spend time with mom and dad's so busy. They've got this new career and they're doing all this stuff. And then mom and dad gets older, they slow down, and now the kids are in college and get all this busy. And so if we're not careful, we miss each other. One of the things that I hear so often from people, and I've said it myself, I wish I could, if I could go back in time, I would spend more time with my kids, or I would spend more time with my father, my mother. I've said that many times. If I could have one more day with dad, be present while you can. Look at the importance that Jesus puts on simply being present. Luke 10, 38 to 42. You've heard me talk about this before, but I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded of this valuable aspect. Luke 10, 38 to 42. As they were traveling along, he entered a village, Jesus, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all of her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, Martha." He said, I'm sure with much more love than what that sounded like. He said, "You're worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." One thing is necessary. Jesus says this. And Mary chose that good part. And what did Mary choose? To be seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. Mary wasn't running around serving, working, or organizing this event. Well, now, a lot of us will say, well, somebody's got to do it. Right? Somebody's got to do it. We have to stop and say, really? Does someone have to do it? If it begins to impede your relationship and your time with your Father God. Somebody's got to water those plants out in the foyer. Somebody's got to do it. If, for instance, those plants in the foyer and watering those plants, along with possibly other tasks, begin to affect my time that I'm spending with God, you know what I should do? Get rid of some plants in the foyer. Sometimes we need to prioritize our actions and our interests. How often do we get distracted, as Jesus said, with our preparations, our goals? Even in service, we get distracted and yet fail to stop and spend time with our ever-present Father. James 4:10 says, "Humble yourself in the Lord's presence, and he will honor you." Humble yourself in the Lord's presence, and he will honor you. The humble, that word humble there, is used to describe the action and the attitude of a beggar. Someone that would be on their knees with their hands out, saying, "I have nothing. And I can't make it without your help." In the Greek, that word humble was used in that way. Do we humble ourselves and stop and spend quality time with God? And say, "God, I sometimes try to do it on my own, and I think about you, but I don't truly stop and say, God, what do you want me to do in this situation?" Let's look at another example in Matthew 17, and I won't read the whole thing, but this is the disciples, the story about the disciples. There was this father who had this son, and the son had this illness or a demon possession that would throw him into the fire. The father said that he was like a moon, they called it a moon disease or a lunar disease, but he was mad, crazy, but actually had a demon, come to find out. But he would throw himself down, and the demon would throw him in the fire or in the water. And he said, "I took my son to your disciples, and they could not cure him." Now, Bill Johnson pointed this out, and I thought it was interesting. One of the things that we need to learn from this story is what the disciples did next. Did they fail? Yes. Sometimes we have a prayer that we're praying. It doesn't get answered. We kind of sweep it aside and move on. Forget it, move on. Okay, that didn't work, move on. Look what the disciples did here. Matthew 17, 19. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not drive it out?" They chose a time to come to Jesus privately and say, "Help us figure out what we did wrong so that we can do this correctly next time." What happened? Why didn't this work? See, when we choose to humble ourselves in God's presence and say, "God, we can't do anything without you," we then put ourselves in a position of partnership with God. If we try to organize our own ducks and get them in a row, most likely we're going to fail at that. But if we stop and go to the creator of said ducks, we're more likely to get those little rascals in a row. We partner with God in this life when we give him time, quality time in our lives, a priority, and give him the controls. This supernatural team can accomplish the will of God in your life. And you know what? You will not be successful at this without him. The reason I know that is because Jesus says, "Without me, it just is not going to work." You have to be abiding in the vine. Amen? This last week in our Wednesday night class, we're in the book of Genesis, and we talked shortly about theophanies. And a theophany is a special manifestation of God that is accompanied by an acute awareness of his presence. Theophany, a manifestation of God. When God appears to someone, like he did Abram, several times, he did to Isaac, and he did to Hagar, and he appeared to Moses, right? That's a theophany. And we were talking about this, and I made a list of them. And when studying this, I have to admit, I had a very silly thought. I thought, I wonder why we don't hear about theophanies anymore. And then it kind of immediately hit me. We don't need a temporary manifestation of God because we have a permanent Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of us all the time, 24/7. Amen? In other words, he is always present. Are we always available to that presence? I think since we as Christians in this age have never experienced a Christian journey without God's continual presence in our lives, kind of like they did in the Old Testament, we probably do not truly appreciate the significance of this supernatural relationship. Right? Think about that. we probably do not fully utilize the power of the Holy Spirit to his fullest extent. Think about the presence of God and how it was manifested in the Old Testament. We have Judges 5:5 says the mountains quaked at the presence of God. Sinai, the presence of the Lord, the God of Israel. Psalm 68:8, the earth quaked, the heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. All God has to do is just show up. It's like, ta-da! Things begin to happen in the natural, physical world that we live in. Hello? Things begin to change simply because we've allowed ourselves to partner with God. He can now show up in our circumstance and shake things up. Amen? It gets me excited. The psalmist said in Psalms 42:5, David said, "Why are you in despair?" He's talking to his own soul. "Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me?" Look what he's saying to his own soul. David's talking to himself. He says, "Do this, hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence." The value of presence, the power of the presence of God that we sometimes unknowingly walk around this world with in us. The very power and the presence of God. I say we begin to remember, we begin to think about it, begin to practice it, begin to live every day. Wake up and say, "I'm going to go to work today with the presence of God." People won't be able to help themselves but feel something that they may not even know what it is. So here's my challenge this week, not just to the fathers, but to all of us. Our Father God is always present. Are you availing yourself to this magnificent and power, blessing, and potential? Are you availing yourself to this type of relationship, the very presence of God? Be present. And the next thing I want to challenge you with, are you present for those of which God has given you charge? Try not to get so busy and so distracted that we forget to spend time with the people that God has called us to minister to first, and that is our family. Amen? Amen. Go ahead and stay seated, but I want to say a closing prayer, and then we'll do some Father's Day activities. Our Father God, it is such an honor to be in your presence. And I apologize that sometimes I forget that. Sometimes I take advantage of that, and sometimes I don't remember, and I try to get busy. I try to do things on my own, and we apologize, God, for that, and ask that you would help us to remember the power and the significance of having the presence of God on our lives at all times. God, and I pray specifically for the fathers today that you would bless them and help them have a safe day, a healthy day, and just to be wonderfully engulfed in your love and the love of their children. And we love you very much, God. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.